Let me tell you one more time how thankful and happy I am that I get to spend this part of Easter with you. It is just the greatest time of the year for me. It really, really is. I know some people like Christmas. I like Easter. You know why? More people come to church on Easter. We all know the story about Easter. We all know that it's about the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know the story. Jesus was crucified on Good Friday, and it was a Good Friday. You know, it doesn't seem like there was much good about it that Friday, but it was good for you and me. It was that blood that was shed on that day that gave us new life. They killed him. They nailed him to a cross, and upon that cross, he died. What a horrible place to die, hanging on a cross. He died. They took him down. They wrapped him in grave cloth. And took him and laid him in a tomb. And they put the herbs to keep his decaying body from smelling. This is how sure they were he was dead. His best friends had given him up for dead. His own mother had given him up for dead. Those that he had told how many times that he would rise again still gave him up for dead. Everybody gave him up for dead but God. God didn't give him up for dead. On the third day, God raised him from the dead. And he came forth not as a victim, but as a victor, right? Over death, hell, and the grave as King of kings and Lord of lords. What that simply means is there was nothing left for him to conquer. When you conquer death and hell and the grave, there's nothing left, right? You're King of kings and you're Lord of lords. Now, we know the story. But what I wanted to do today is not just rehearse that again for you on Easter Sunday, but try to make it relevant so that we can have something that we can make applicable to our life on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every day of our life. So what I want to talk today to you about is resurrected hope. What I'm meaning here and what I'm wanting us to see today is that so many people today are hopeless. And it wasn't that they didn't have hope at one time. It's that hope was killed in them. As it were, hope was crucified. Life crucified hope in all of us. We start off in life with these dreams and aspirations and we're so hopeful. But over time, little by little, time kills our hope. And it takes it as it is, it wraps it up, it sticks it in a tomb within us. We try to keep it from stinking too bad. The enemy rolls this big stone in front of it in the tomb that we place it so that it will never come forth again. Because once the enemy gets your hope, he's got you. When you're hopeless, there's nothing left. There's no desire to get out of bed. There's no reason to go to work. There's no reason to love your family. There's nothing left when you become hopeless. But it's Resurrection Sunday, right? And God's going to raise hope again in you and in me today. Because that's why Jesus came and that's why God raised him from the dead. He came so that we could have resurrected hope. Some of us here are suffering in our health, in our bodies. And we become hopeless when we get sick. Well, God wants to resurrect hope in you today that God's going to heal you. You got to have hope if you're going to get healed. God, some of us are in financial struggles. Some of us are bankrupt. Some of us are in dire straits financially. And you're hopeless concerning your finances. Well, today God wants to resurrect hope in you for your finances. You need hope. You need a reason to get out of bed. A reason to get out of debt. God doesn't want you to live under the bondage of financial difficulties all of your life. Some of us have marital problems. And God wants to resurrect hope in our marriage. Some of our marriages are as good as wound up, wrapped up, laid in a tomb, and it's stinking. And we need to get hope in our marriages again. Some of us don't have hope for our children. Our children are going wayward ways. We need to get hope for our children so that they can have a purpose in life. Some of us get out of bed every day and we go to work. We go to work and we hate what we do. We hate our jobs. But God doesn't want that. I want to resurrect hope in you today with the power of the Holy Spirit that you can find something to do that you love to do every day. See, unless you get out of bed every day pursuing a hope, you will die and wither. And God wants to resurrect hope in us today. So let me sort of show you how I know this is true and why Jesus came and why God raised him from the dead. There's a very popular scripture that many of us know. It's in the book of John. It's chapter 10 and verse 10. And here it says this: the thief comes only, this is the only thing he does, in order to steal and kill and destroy. Now, leave that up there. Let me talk just a second. Now, the first thing the thief comes, the enemy comes, is to get your hope. If he can get your hope for your marriage surviving, your marriage will die. If he can get your hope for your healing, then you won't be healed. The enemy comes, and the very first thing he wants to kill, steal, and to destroy is your hope. He goes on, but Jesus says, I've got nothing to do with that. He says, I came that. Here is why I came. I came that they may have and enjoy life. Not just breathe air, right? Have and enjoy. He wants you to have a life that's a blast. He wants you to enjoy every day, every minute of your life. This is why he came. Have and enjoy life. And here's what I want. And have it in abundance. A lot of it. To the full. Every day. Till it overflows. David said, my cup runneth over. And this is what he's talking about. A life that is full. A life that is joy, enjoyable. God's dream is that you have life. And that more abundantly. So you just didn't show up on planet Earth one day. That's not how it works. This is your time. This is the time you've got. There's a scripture in the book of Esther, and it says that she came into the kingdom for such a time as this. There was a specific time Esther was born. You are here born today at a specific time and a specific moment. There are people that are depending upon you and needing you. There are things that God has planned for you to enjoy. And inside of you, he put hopes and dreams when you were born. And hopes and dreams, because it's those hopes and dreams that make every day of your life full. It makes every day of your life abundant. Without those hopes and dreams and being able to experience them, life is a drag and hopeless. God wants you to have this. You see, unless we have something to get out of bed every day and pursue after in hopes and dreams, we will wither, we will die. I want to read this same verse to you from a different translation. It's called the Message Translation, Message Bible. I love it because it's written in a way that I can understand it. And so I want to read it to you from that same verse from that translation. It says, a thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, though, I came so. Here's why. So they can have real and eternal life. Hear this. He didn't come just so you can go to heaven when you die. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. And one day, I'll really appreciate it. One day, I'm going to like that. But today, I need real life. Today, you need real life. You're not going to die today. I promise you. You're not going to die. But today, you do need some real life. You need some hope. And Jesus says, I come to give you real and eternal life. Watch this. And here's what I want. More and better life than they ever dreamed of. Wow. Ryan said in the video that when we follow the Lord and we come close to the Lord, then dreams start happening. And we get to live our dreams. So much life and so much to experience has God planned for every single one of us. His dream, the reason Jesus came, and the reason God raised him from the dead, is so that you can have one great life. That's resurrection. And that's what I want to impart to us today, is hope in resurrection. When Jesus came back alive, the possibilities of your hopes and your dreams coming true came back alive. When Jesus walked out of that tomb that day, the possibilities of you having a life beyond anything you've ever dreamed of walked out of that tomb that day. Now, there's a part for us to do. But it's available. When Jesus came alive, it's all available for us. When he was resurrected, all of these things that God has planned for us became possibilities for us to experience in life. Now, there was a time in your life when you were full of hopes and dreams. We get in school, we graduate school, we go to college, we have all these plans, we want to find an occupation, we get married, we start having children and babies and all of this stuff, we get a job, and then little by little, over time, our hopes and our dreams are hurt and wounded. Our hopes and our dreams, a disappointment here, a setback there, a failed relationship here, a divorce, failed finances here, bankruptcies, a disease. And all of these things come and they take away our hope. And we begin to wither. We become over time, a victim. Over time, we become a victim of life and not a victor of life. And we wake up dreading what we're going to do today, dreading what life has for us, rather than looking for life as opportunities. We become a victim. It's like a leaf. And here's what I want us to kind of project it as. It's a leaf that's attached to a tree. But it turns loose of the limb and the branch. And the branch and the limb would be the life-sustaining part of hope and dreams. You see, when your hopes and your dreams stop sustaining you, you, like a leaf, fall to the ground and you wither. Jesus encountered a withered man one day. It's a very interesting story in the book of Matthew. I want to read you part of it. He encountered this man who was withered. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 10 says this: "And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered." Now, leave that up. Notice how it's written. He had his hand withered. He didn't just have a withered hand. Something withered his hand. Maybe he fell. Maybe he failed. Maybe someone injured him, crippled him, hurt him so badly. And he began to close up. He began to shut up. Of course, the hand is symbolic. And it speaks of a life that's withered, a life that's now closed up. It speaks of a life that at one time could grasp and hold on and feel things, but now no longer can because it's withered, it's closed. At best, you can only have a half a life because his hand is withered, because something's withered his hand, because life has caused him to be injured and crippled. Life is now passing him by because he's withered. I love to give my wife flowers. I don't do it frequently enough, but I love to give them to her. Because she enjoys them. She takes them, she puts them in a vase and sets them on her island in our kitchen area. And we watch them every day. And they open up and we talk about how beautiful they are when they open up. Oh, didn't they open up so pretty and they smell so fragrant, you know. And we're enjoying the flowers. But unknown to us, they're literally wilting. Unknown to us. And then in a few days, we start noticing that they're beginning to wilt and wither. And then maybe a couple of days later, they've totally withered and they're dead. You know, life is like this. We began life like a bouquet. It's so flowery and it's so beautiful and so colorful. There's so much to experience. There's so much to enjoy. And then something happens. Life comes. Life happens. And it comes and it begins to remove our hope. Our hope to experience the bouquet life that God has already planned for us. And we begin to wither. We begin to die. When we lose hope, when hope dies inside of us, a little bit of us die. Every time. And little by little, we die. We develop a mindset. It's a withered mindset. We start saying, claiming things like, "I'll never get out of debt." That's not good to say. We start claiming and saying things. "I'll never get healed. My marriage will never be what I want it to be. My children will never be any good." And we wither. And we wither away. And we lose our hope. And it's interesting how Jesus ministered to this guy who was withered. He didn't give him a lot of sympathy. He didn't say, "You poor little guy. Your life has really been tough on you. You have every right in the world, because you've been so injured and so damaged. You have every right in the world just to sit and wither and let life pass you by." That's not what he said to him. And that's not what he's going to say to you. And it's not what he's going to say to me. He's going to tell us to do something if we don't want to wither. Matthew 12:13 says, "Then he," Jesus, "said to the man, stretch out your hand," not your arm, your hand, the part that's withered. Stretch out your hope. Open it up again. Stretch out your dream. Stretch out your marriage to me. Stretch out your finances to me. Stretch out your healing to me. Stretch out your children, the part that's withered, the hopelessness, the part that's withering away. Stretch it out. You know, I wonder how many times this guy has tried to stretch out his hand. Probably since he was injured. He couldn't do it. So he's now faced with a decision. Will he stretch out his hand past and beyond the hurt, the divorce, the bankruptcy? Will he stretch out his hand past what somebody did to him, the hurt, the wound? Will he stretch his hand out past, or will he just go back into his tomb and there wither and let life pass him by? What would you do? Now, I know what you say you would do. What would you do? You see, because right now, this moment, right now, God is asking each and every one of us to stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hope. Stretch out your dream. Stretch out your marriage. Stretch out your healing. Stretch out your finances to me. To me. What would you do? Let me show you what he did, what the man did. Matthew 12:13 says this. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. Other people have dreams and visions that they enjoy and that they live. Why can't I? Well, you can, but you got to stretch out your hand. You got to get back to where you can feel and touch. You got to get back to where you can grasp and pull yourself up. You got to get back to where the hand works and the hope works and the dream works. Stretch forth your hand. God desires to completely heal every single one of us of our broken dreams and our dead hopes and our withered lives. And I want to make sure you see this. Nothing would have happened had the man not stretched forth his hand. Stretched forth that part that was withered. Nothing would have happened. But he did. He did his part. And God did his part. And the man was completely restored. Able now to feel again. To grasp again. To hold again. To embrace life again. To go every day now. Get up and go to work. And work like he should. And enjoy what he was doing. And enjoy life in a brand new higher level than he had enjoyed it. That's what God desires to do for every single one of you. And he's saying to you today, stretch forth your hand. Stretch forth that's wounded and bruised and crippled. That's withered. Stretch it out. That's why Jesus came. And that's why God raised him from the dead. And you may say, Delbert, you know, I'm too old. I'm too old. No, you're not. There's a story in the Bible about a man named Abraham and a woman named Sarah. And they thought they were too old. But one day God said to them, just as he's saying to you and I today, you're not too old. This time next year, you're going to have a baby. And that was a stretch for them. I mean, he's 100 years old and she's 90. Now, that's a stretch. But to get their hope, to get their dream that they had dreamed all of these years, he wasn't too old. And so they stretched forth their hand and they had a baby, and his name was Isaac, the promise. Well, Delbert, you know, I've tried and tried and tried, and it's just not working. No, no, no. I'm going to say this now. I'm going to say it again. When God puts something in your heart, a hope, a dream, you pursue that hope or dream your whole life. Don't ever stop. You're never too old, and it's never too late, and you've never tried it too much. Because if God put it there, it's going to live. It's going to be resurrected. And if you don't do it, it will die and wither. You've got to stretch forth your hand. There's a story in the Bible about a man named Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian, and he was the leader of an army. And he was a very good man. But the Bible says that Naaman had leprosy. Now, leprosy in the Bible was the worst, the absolute worst of all kinds of diseases that an individual could have. And he had leprosy. And this leprosy was going to kill him. This leprosy was going to take him out. But he had to try something different. He had to try something new. And what God is saying to you and me today is that we've got to try something different. We've got to try something new. Though he's gone to all the doctors and tried to get all the healings that he possibly could, nothing was working. And he had to get healed. So he had to try something different and he had to try something new. And what God is saying to you today, I don't care how many times you've tried it, you've got to try something different and try something new. So he went to the man of God, and the man of God says, you've got to go and you've got to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. God's never done this before. He's never healed anybody by going to the Jordan River and dipping 7 times. Nobody's ever been healed like that. But there's something new and different for Naaman to do to get his hope. He wants to be healed. So he goes to the Jordan River, and you can imagine what he's going through. He dips down 1 time and he comes up and he's looking for something to have happened, and nothing's happened. He failed. He goes and he dips again the 2nd time. He comes back up. He's got to dip 7 times, the man of God said. He looks again. There's nothing happened. You know the story about Edison and creating the light bulb, right? You know how that works. He tried that thing 2,000 times and it didn't work. He failed 2,000 times. Or did he? Did he fail 2,000 times or did he find 2,000 ways it didn't work? He never failed because he kept trying. He kept stretching forth his hand. He dipped the 3rd time and the 4th time and the 5th time. Nothing's happening. Every time, it's foolishness. Why do I keep trying? Well, he said something. 6th time, nothing. This is the stupidest thing I've ever done. He dips the 7th time and he comes up. And the Bible says that he had the clean skin like that of a young boy. When God puts something in your heart, when God speaks to your heart, you pursue that dream for the rest of your life. Because you don't know which stretch it's going to be. You don't know which dip it's going to be. But if God put it there, and you keep stretching and you keep dipping, God's going to make it happen. It's going to come alive. It's going to happen for you. Let me read you this psalm real fast. It's in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 2. And it says, and this is about a person who refuses to wither. But his or her, it's a person who refuses to wither. But his delight is in the law or the word of God, the word of the Lord. And in his word, law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons. You understand the seasons of life. And whose leaf does not wither. And whatever he does prospers. Please get this. The person who refuses to wither is the person who prospers. You will never prosper if you lose hope. And you will never get what God has for you if you wither. If you'll stretch out today, Jesus says, I'll heal you. Every single one of us today have had hopes and dreams that have died, withering, stuck in a cave within our hearts. We had big aspirations to start with, but over time, little by little, these hopes and these things have come against our hopes and dreams, and as it were, they're in the tomb. Big stone is rolled up there by the enemy. Keep your hopes and dreams from ever coming out. But God says today, if you'll stretch forth your hand, I'll roll the stone away. And come out of that tomb with hopes and dreams. They'll walk out and they'll live again. And you'll get to experience every single one of them. God's saying to every single one of us today, if you'll do it, I'll do it. You do your part, I'll do my part. Your part is to stretch forth your hand. And you've given them up. You've wrapped them up. You put them in the tomb. Maybe your family's given up on them. Maybe your closest friends have given up on you, ever experiencing your hopes and dreams. Maybe the people that you love the most in the world, your mother has given up on you, ever experiencing hopes and dreams. Ever living again. But God hasn't. God says today, I will raise them. I'll make them breathe again. I'll make them walk again. I'll get it so you can experience them. And you will not be a victim. You will be a victor. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today, this beautiful, beautiful day, Resurrection Sunday. Thank you for every single person, Lord God, here in every place that names the name of Jesus. Thank you that we're worshiping you around this globe today. We're worshiping you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We worship you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your sacrifice for us. Lord, thank you for helping us now understand our hopes and dreams can live again. I want your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Maybe you, along with me, would say, you know what, Delbert, that's right. I have had some tough times. And some of my hopes and some of my dreams of life really have, as it were, been crucified. And I've put them away and into the tomb. And there, I want them to live again. I really do. I want to experience these things. I want to walk in my deepest dreams for life and my expectations that I had. I want them to live. I want to experience them. So what the Lord is saying to you today is stretch forth your hand. Stretch your hand towards me. Do it my way this time. Try me this time. It'll work. If that's you, heads bowed, eyes closed. If that's you, and you would say, along with me, yeah, I have been wounded and I have been crippled, but I refuse to be withered. And I am going to stretch forth my hand today. And I am going to ask you, Lord God, to breathe into my hopes and to breathe into my dreams. They'll live again. And I will get to walk in those dreams and I'll get to walk in my hopes for the rest of my life. If that's you, would you raise your hand and let me just pray all together for us? I see hands all over this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we admit, Lord, we've allowed life to hurt us and wither us. And Lord, you want us to have abundant lives. So, Father, today we're stretching forth our hand, opening it up to you. Some of us have never done that. We're opening it up to you, Lord God. And we're asking you to help us and to heal us, to breathe into our hopes and to breathe into our dreams, that they can come forth from our tombs. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. One more thing. Now, some of you, this is a brand new thing. Some of you have never opened up your hand, never stretched forth your hand to God, to Jesus. You've never done it. And you're never going to have the life that Jesus came to give you. You're never going to experience the abundance and the fullness. You're never going to experience a real life. You're going to go through life in a fictitious way, not experiencing all the things that God has for you. You're never going to do it without Jesus. Now, others of you have reached out to Him with a crippled hand, never really opened it up. Never really opened up to Him and did it His way, opened up and stretched forth your hand to Him in an open way, never did it. But God wants you to today. Or maybe you did it a long time ago, but you got away from the Lord because of wounds and cripples and things that hurt you. God is saying today, if you will come to me, confess me as the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of your life, I will resurrect your dreams. I will bring forth hope in you. And you're going to experience the best life you could possibly have, if that's you. And you know you're not where you need to be with God today. Would you let me, right where you're sitting, pray for you? Would you right now raise your hand, just me and you, would you raise your hand? I see a hand in the back, any others? Keep them up, please, and let me, until I meet, have eye contact with you. I see a hand over there, a hand two or three over here. Any others? Any others? Keep them up. I see your hand in the back there, young lady. Thank you. I see your hand right here on the third, fourth row from the back. I see your hand. You can put it down. I see your hand, sir. I see your hand. I see your hand, ma'am, in the back. Any others? Any others? I see your hand in the back. See it back there, a young child. I thank you. Love you. Thank you, Lord.